You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Phillies your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all platforms. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Today's Tuesday, November 30th, 2021, coming to you with episode 2 of a Locked On Phillies, Locked On Mets crossover. I am Dan Wilson. That is Ryan Finkelstein, talking all things baseball, lockout, Mets offseason thus far in episode number 1. Wanted to get more into what has gone on around baseball here in episode number 2. Also, the Phillies haven't done much of anything. And if there's any pressure now added based upon what the Mets have done, their rivals just up 95 up the turnpike, what they're doing in Queens, you'd think would strike a little bit of incentive into the Phillies to do something here this offseason. Again, we will certainly see. With now, we're starting episode number 2 here right around 3:30 in the East. So the clock is ticking on Dave Dombrowski before this lockout kicks in. But I'll start with what else we've seen around baseball. Ryan, any major surprises in terms of landing spots or money that has been given out? We've seen the signings of Javier Baez, Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Kevin Gausman, Robbie Ray, among others. And of course, they went to the Tigers, Rangers, Blue Jays, and Mariners, respectively. Any deals have your extra special interest here, or I should say, big surprises? Like, any deal stick out to you thus far?
I mean, the Rangers spending that much money is shocking. I mean, everyone's talking about how much money Steve Cohen just gave out. Granted, the Rangers 2 contracts and Corey Seager and Marcus Semien are longer term deals, so it's going to make it look a little bit more inflated compared to the money that the Mets added to their payroll this year. But still, they give up out twice as much money as the Mets. I mean, they give out $500 million to Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. It's a bold move for sure, to just revamp the middle of your infield overnight, and it should help them. But they still lost 102 games last year, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't think 2 signings are going to suddenly change the entire fortunes of your ball club. So that was the biggest surprise, is how aggressive they're spending. But I think they're trying to sort of relaunch that new ballpark they have. And at least early in the season, for season tickets and all that type of stuff, it's probably a smart move, but they're going to have to win. And if you don't win, that excitement's going to fade really fast.
That is for sure. So yes, the Rangers go out, they get Semien, they get Seager. Seager, you know, looks like will be their shortstop, Semien at second base. Both guys have played shortstop in the past. A combined 17 years. And let's see if I can do some quick math here. What is it, $500 million for those guys?
It's exactly
$500 million. Not a small chunk of change. As I was saying to you, it's incredible in episode number 1. Incredible that Bryce Harper now has the 18th highest AAV in all of Major League Baseball. I mean, teams not shy about spending money here this offseason. Another big name shortstop went off the board, as I mentioned, Javier Baez going to the Tigers. Of course, you got a little small taste of him in New York this season. I don't think necessarily anyone expected him to return to New York, but just what you make of Baez as a player and now him shipped off to Detroit.
I think fans thought that he was going to come back because the Mets gave up a significant prospect to get Javi Baez and Pete Carl Armstrong. So
I guess more so like after they went and got Scherzer, Escobar. Like, it seemed like he was trending away from that direction.
Yes. Yeah. The last like 48 hours, it started to seem like, okay, that's probably not going to happen. And look, he's a great player. He's a little bit of a flawed player, but certainly brings a lot to the table. I think he's one of those players that if you're into the analytics and everything, and I work with Just Baseball, where there is a lot of guys who are really into the numbers, a lot of people hate Javi Baez because the numbers tell you he's not that great of a player, just because the strikeouts are just ridiculous. The amount of times he strikes out, that really deflates his offensive value. The guy is electric to watch, though. And I think from seeing him up close every day, this is a nice signing for the Tigers, because you have a team that started to turn around last year. I believe they won the same amount of games as the Mets. I think they won 77 games. you know, you now have a star player that can be marketed as the star player that's going to have those crazy slides where he avoids the tag that's going to be leading off SportsCenter or whatever. You know, he has the plays he'll make in the field. He'll hit the home runs and he'll pimp those home runs. I mean, he's a lot of fun to watch. I think when you're looking at a team that doesn't have a huge payroll already, a 6-year, $140 million deal is fine for Javi Baez. I think for the Mets, it didn't make a ton of sense because you already have $341 million tied to Lindor. Lindor did not have a good first season. And if Baez goes sideways on a 6-year deal as well, now you're kind of screwed with two middle infielders that would have been on the books for a long time. So I think the Mets are okay to have not re-signed Javi Baez, but I think it's a good deal for the Tigers.
I do too. I mean, his AAV is not one of those guys who jumps ahead of Bryce Harper. It's 23 1/3, I think it was, million per year,
right,
for Javier Baez, which again, based upon where the baseball market is at, you know, you're right. He's a flashy player. He's a very good player. Doesn't walk a ton, swings at a lot of balls, but certainly does a lot of things for you with his glove. And again, it seems about right. It seems right, just about right relative to what Corey Seager signed for. But now two of these major shortstops are off the board. You still have Trevor Story out there. You still have Carlos Correa out there. I'm blanking just really quick who...
I think that's it.
So Kassemian's off the board.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have like three of the top five guys, unless I'm blanking on someone, off the board against... We'll see what happens with Story. We'll see what happens with Correa. But
I mean, when it comes to infielders, like it's at this point, it's Chris Bryant, Freddie Freeman, Correa, and Story, I guess, are like the last big names that are out there.
Yes. And so, yeah. And Freeman, I mean, it seems like,
yeah,
is likely to go back to the Braves. I mean, it certainly seems like he wants to go back to the Braves. They just won the World Series. You would like to think that deal gets done. We'll see again, obviously, what happens here in the next.
It's honestly, that's a good question for the two of us. Like, I don't even want to see Freddie Freeman not in a Braves uniform, and I'm not a Braves fan, and I don't want to play against Freddie Freeman, but there's certain players that like are tied to
shouldn't,
a team that
shouldn't play anywhere else. Yeah.
And Freddie Freeman, as much as it sucks, and we're going to have to watch him, you know, rake against our teams for the next 7 years, I think he should stay. You know what I mean? I don't want to see Freddie Freeman as a Yankee or something else.
Any surprises from your point of view? Well, I forget what you had said. I think we had talked about this maybe late in the regular season. Biggest needs for the Mets entering this offseason. Do you think they've addressed those? Do you still think they have any more needs? And it was going to lead me into my pitching question, which is Gausman goes to the Blue Jays 5 years for 110. Robbie Ray to the Mariners 5 for 115. Again, not guys who necessarily expected the Phillies to be in on. I just would like to see, the Phillies address their outfield need, their bullpen need, which we've kind of already touched on here. But the Mets go out and get a big name starter in Max Scherzer. Any surprises based upon the pitching market that we've seen here thus far?
Not really. I think just looking at what the Mets did, I think they were going to get one of these guys. And I was always a little bit more on board with bringing Marcus Stroman back than signing Gausman or Ray, because Robbie Ray had the qualifying offer attached. And I don't think the Mets should be giving up the 14th pick in the draft to sign a guy that's been really inconsistent throughout his career. And Gausman, I think, had a pretty big dip in the second half. So I think both of those guys have a lot of risk in those signings, especially to 5-year deals. The Mets get Max Scherzer, where there's the risk in his age, but based on performance, there's no risk. I mean, the guy, I was looking at since 2009, he's thrown at least 170 innings every season. And he'd be, if not for 2020, working on his 10th straight 200 strikeout season this year. Like, the performance, I'm not concerned about at all. So I think the Mets did an incredible job getting that done to address their pitching. They're probably going to sign, you know, maybe they bring Rich Hill back, you know, something like that, a fifth starter. The Mets still need to address their bullpen. But yeah, I think the way the market ended up unfolding with those two guys getting that much money, and the Mets being able to go a little bit shorter with obviously a lot more average annual value, but for a better pitcher, it was a home run.
That is for sure. We will do more Locked on Phillies, Locked on Mets crossover coming right up. But first, I have to tell you about DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends logging for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content, it varies by package. Again, I want to thank you for making Locked On Phillies or Locked On Mets your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all platforms. When you look at this NL East as a whole, again, not much has changed. We're coming less than a month off the Braves winning the World Series. In terms of early favorites, I mean, I would say based upon the offseason right now, we'll see what happens with Freddie Freeman. The Mets could very well be the favorites to win the National League East in the year 2022. Are you getting there? Are you still pumping the brakes on this thing in terms of your expectations for next season? And how much has the landscape, in your opinion, of the division changed here in the last month?
I don't know if it has changed too much in that.
Like the Braves are still the team to beat. I guess we could still say that. Yeah. They win the division. They've won the division each of the last 5 years, I think it is, and just won the World Series. So like they are the team as of now. Last year, it seemed like the Mets might challenge them for that. Things did not work out. They're going to give this another go. They are adding more and more. I mean, I'll say Scherzer's a big name. I don't know if you want to call it. I mean, the other Marte is a decently sized name. I think Canada is a guy who really helps both your offense and your defensive versatility. Again, a guy I would have loved to see in red Phillies pinstripes, just wasn't meant to be. And then Eduardo Escobar, a pretty affordable deal and hopefully a guy that can help your team. Does this change? And all short deals, I should add. Like Scherzer was only 3 years. Escobar, Canada, 2 years. Starling Marte, 4 years. Like they're very much going for it here in the short term. So like the window is now for a team like the Mets, and the window is theoretically now for a team like the Phillies. I just don't know how realistic it is.
I think that what we've learned, at least when it comes to the Mets in this division, they are basically in a rebuild. As crazy it is, and hear me out, they're rebuilding the farm system. They're building on analytics department. They're building on all these different things. They're scouting, their player development. While they're doing that, Steve Cohen's going to put a $300 million team on the field and try to win in the short term.
We're going to be good in the minors and in the majors, just all at once.
Yeah. They're, you know, Billy Epler talked about what he did with the Angels, and that was his strategy. And now the next GM for the Angels is able to inherit a much better situation than when Billy Epler came into, because Billy Epler did not trade from that farm system. He tried to build through free agency. It didn't work. The Mets are in that point. And when you build through free agency, a lot of times it doesn't work. The Mets just signed three guys coming off their age 32 seasons and a 37-year-old Max Scherzer. That could easily blow up in the Mets' face. We've seen it before. It would not be shocking to me at all if we look up in June and Eduardo Escobar and Mark Canna are shells of themselves and Starling Marte is hurt. Would not surprise me. But what you're doing is you're not hamstringing yourself long-term by giving Javi Baez a six-year deal. You're focusing on the short-term deals. And if the Mets win the next 3 or 4 years, awesome. If not, they would hope that in 3 to 4 years, they're going to have this great farm system and be able to actually build out the type of sustainable winner that the Dodgers have, that the Astros have. So I think when it comes to the Mets, when you look at the long term, that's more what they're focused on. And in the short term, like I said, it's just throw a bunch of money at your problems and try to fix it. And again, I'm not trying to take that for granted. That's an incredible luxury to have as a fan. To be able to see your owner just say, all right, we'll throw $250 million over 4 days and try to win now. It's pretty crazy.
Really quickly, because you brought up Steve Cohen, I want to read you word for word. I'm sure a tweet that you have memorized by now, which is, I'm not happy this morning. I've never seen such unprofessional behavior exhibited by a player's agent. I guess words and promises don't matter. Your thoughts on this tweet from New York Mets owner Steve Cohen.
Yeah, that was in reference to Steven Matz, who signed with the Cardinals instead of the Mets when he had expressed interest in returning to the Mets, which it was ridiculous.
Matz, a New York native and a guy who had only pitched the Mets he pitched for the Blue Jays in
because the Mets traded him.
Because the Mets traded him. He pitched
a year prior,
very recently, but he'd come up with the Mets. Yes.
a year.
And now it's unprofessional. He doesn't want to return. Yes, I should have clarified that was about Steven Matz.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's the most what's the word I'm looking for? Like tone deaf of the whole situation is you and that trading, the Mets actually made out really well in the Steven Matz trade. One of the prospects they got, Khalil Lee, in aggregate, they got a pitching prospect that they sent out in another deal. They got Khalil Lee. Khalil Lee is now a top 10 prospect in the Mets system, probably a fourth outfield for them this year. So it worked out for the Mets when it comes to the trade, but they essentially were this close to non-tendering him. They were throwing him out last year. So the fact that he decided that going to the Cardinals, who have the best defense in the sport, as a contact pitcher on a four-year deal, it's ludicrous that he should have felt some obligation to return to the Mets. I understand that apparently they really like put a hardcore press on the Mets to return, but Steve Cohen needs to have a little bit of a thicker skin with that. But fans are now crediting Steven Matz's agent for getting Max Scherzer to the Mets because they just think it pissed him off to the point that he threw money all over the place. So
really quickly, because I can tell you right now, John Middleton, not a huge fan favorite here in Philadelphia. Seems like he's pretty apathetic to the idea of going out and winning. He goes out and closes deals like Bryce Harper when it helps the bottom line, has no interest in going over the luxury tax or really being aggressive enough to win. And the idea around the Phillies just right now is very, again, apathetic. 82 wins this season. Obviously, you had a Cy Young candidate in Zach Wheeler. You had the MVP in Bryce Harper, and you still just barely won 82 games. Speaks to the larger construction of the team, which dates back years and years and years. But no one really that pleased with the owner or the ownership group in general, as well as, you know, Dave Dombrowski, who's now been at this thing coming up on a year. Excited to see what he could do in a full offseason, if there is a full offseason here before a lockout starts, or if there's enough time after this impending lockout. Where is New York on the Cohen era, I will say, because everyone hated the Wilpons, but you know, after this offseason they've had, is it overall this dude's tone deaf and needs to tone it down with the tweets and how outspoken he is, or when push comes to shove, he's going to throw money in, around and make this team better?
Fans have had a complete love affair with Steve Cohen, and rightfully so. When you're coming off the Wilpon era and how just brutal that was, it's fair to just appreciate a guy that, for one, has the money to spend like this. And you have, of course, you know, the older Mets fans who aren't paying attention as close to every single thing that happens on a day-to-day basis and all that. For me personally, as someone that's been covering this team every day for the past 3 years, I haven't noticed the biggest of difference between Steve Cohen and Jeff Wilpon other than the pocketbook. And maybe Steve Cohen's been more vocal, where Jeff Wilpon was just more detrimental behind the scenes. But either way, you're talking about owners who are very heavily involved with the decision-making with your baseball club, which I don't think is the best thing. I think if you look at Tampa, the reason why the Rays are awesome, it's not just because they have this great analytics department. It's because that owner does not give any, he doesn't pay attention at all to the day-to-day. He hired people to run his team. He steps back. You have this payroll. Baseball people make baseball decisions. And that's why they're consistently awesome. Owners always get in the way. Now, when your owner's getting in the way and throwing $130 million at Max Scherzer, you're going to be happy with your owner. So it's the give and take. But yeah, I think that's where I'm at with it. And I'm just hoping that over time, Steve Cohen learns his own limitations and does find baseball people he trusts to the point where he's not butting in as much as it seems like he has been over the past, you know, 18 months.
Got to tell you, the state of the Phillies, hearing all this going on with the Mets, everyone in New York loving him, not making me feel much better about the Phillies. Braves coming off a World Series title, Mets having a loud offseason. Hopefully the Phillies.
And I'm sure your fans hate me right now. They're like, why is this guy complaining at all? Like, yeah, I get it. Don't get me wrong.
No, like, you have the right to complain. You know, certain teams really want to go for it, try and win the World Series. I'm just trying to talk myself into the Phillies being a National League East contender. And as of right now, on November 30th, it's a tough sell, I got to tell you. But one more segment coming up with Ryan Finkelstein on the other side. But first, I have to tell you about Built Bar. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that taste like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar, Built Bar, filled with so much holiday goodness, rich and just an unbelievable amount of flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. So many flavors, you'll have a hard time choosing. We have the raspberry, mint brownie, cherry, double chocolate, cookies and cream, peanut butter brownie. As you all know, my personal favorite, definitely the cookies and cream. Built Bar, it gives you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle those other holiday shoppers. Or even if you're just standing in endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep it going. So throw one in your jacket or purse, and you never know when you're going to need it. Because this season, it's about peace and love. Don't bring up your family built your favorite Built Bar at family parties. It'll get really controversial. People are so passionate about their favorite flavors, they'll literally fight over it and get out of hand. Certainly the most controversial thing you could ever discuss at a holiday party, your favorite Built Bar flavors. Are you friends with Santa? Well, tell Santa to throw a few Built Bars in those stockings. So many flavors, they'd make anyone's Christmas morning a happy one. The offer right now, go to built.com, use that promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. You can go to built.com, promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order. One last time, built.com, promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order of Built Bars. Ryan, we're going to kind of close out on this. Do you have, you know, we were talking about guys who are still out there right now, whether it's Correa, whether it's Story, Chris Bryant is another big name that we kind of forgot to mention here. From a Mets perspective, I'll even ask you from a Phillies perspective or anyone throughout the National League East, do we see anything? Do we think we see any big moves between now and midnight tomorrow night? Do you think there are any big moves coming, perhaps at the other end of this lockout? How long are we into this lockout for? Give me the Ryan Finkelstein crystal ball. How does the rest of this baseball offseason go?
Well, for one thing, I do want to make this note. When it comes to all of the action we have seen, I think what has really inspired it that people probably aren't talking about enough is the personal side for these free agents. They don't know how long that this lockout's going to be. And I think this is an indication of not even worrying about the money they could get at the other side of the lockout. It's more of being locked into a situation, knowing the team you're going to play for, because you have to enroll your kids in school. You have to move, you have to buy a house or rent that, whatever. And the last time the NBA had a lockout, the lockout ended. It was a shortened season and they jumped back into training camp like a week later. So for some of these free agents, that's going to be a really interesting dynamic where these guys are going to come out of the lockout, maybe sign, have to uproot their families almost like a trade deadline, move in somewhere, go through spring training, and then try to get your life together for the start of the season that could happen like a month later. That's a crazy dynamic that's going to play out. So I'm hoping that this lockout doesn't extend to that point. I'm hoping they can get a deal done maybe at some point in January. And then you would still maybe have like a full month before we really get into pitchers and catchers reporting. And so some of these guys can still find deals, but in the meantime, yeah, it seems like there's going to be free agents that are going to stay on the board. Like I don't see Michael Conforto signing. I don't necessarily envision Chris Bryant signing because there just hasn't been any rumblings about those particular Boris clients. And as you alluded to before with Bryce Harper, he's more than willing to push things back and try to get as much money as he can. So I don't know if we're going to see another big name come off the board. Like Javi Baez might've been the last one, because the indication the entire time leading up to when he signed or when they came to an agreement last night was that he wanted to get a deal done. He was one of those guys that wanted the deal. I don't think the reporting has been there on any of the guys left on the board that they are in a rush to sign. So I think the movement has probably just about stopped. We might see some smaller signings, but I don't think the big signings are going to happen. I could be wrong, though, because you never know right now.
Here's my final plea to the Phillies. Just do something. Whether it's Schwarber, Knebel, just any addition to the major league roster. We've already lost Neris. I know some people don't like it.
I got a player for you. Free right. agent, second baseman, fills a need. Cesar Hernandez.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with his game. I'll have to look into Cesar Hernandez. Just give me something. Like literally just because
it's something.
It is something.
I think their team would have been better the last couple of years with Hernandez at second instead of DD at short and Segura at second.
Well, that's for sure. I think they're going to pull up Bryson Stott, if not exactly at the beginning of the year. Maybe they, you know, finagle the service time a little bit here, wait the few weeks. But DD Gregorius will not be the starting shortstop for this team next year. I actually thought yeah, he's just not good. Very, very disappointing. Like one of the worst shortstops in baseball last year.
Yeah.
Gene Segura has been thrown into some trade rumors, most notably the one for Craig Kimbrell. It does seem like Segura will likely be back as the second baseman. I think Stott is who they're going to try as the shortstop of the future. I think Schwarber fills a huge need. Guy can lead off, gets on base, plays the outfield. Dude hits tanks, which is always fun. I want someone in that bullpen. If we could get Schwarber and Knebel here in Philadelphia between now and midnight, that's enough for me to chew on through this locked out or through this lockout, I should say. Once I start doing my locked out Phillies podcast and there's literally no one added onto this Phillies roster, and I'm looking up the turnpike and seeing all the things the Mets have added, and I'm going to look into the Midwest and see Detroit getting Javier Baez, which I wasn't a huge fan of him, but at least they added something this offseason. You look at what the Rangers are doing. And again, I think we agree they spent $500 million, maybe not even to be a contender, but they put some interest in baseball.
Sell tickets.
In Texas. It's just going to annoy me. And it's going to annoy me how long this lockout, I think, is going to take. I think we both are in agreement that this was a fun period of time for baseball. That certainly is not over. Has two more tonight and then a full day tomorrow left in it to see what takes place here. But I'm hoping that the Phillies do something, because sitting around and waiting has not been, historically, it's not been something that works out for this team. I was hoping Dave Dombrowski would show a little bit more aggression here this offseason. I think there are some guys, specifically Mark Canna, who I would have liked to see in red Phillies pinstripes. Just wasn't meant to be. And frankly, I don't know what there's always things to talk about, but I'd much rather be talking about a new player here with the Phillies than what players they still could potentially be getting through a lockout that historically is between two sides that don't get along all that too well and like to wait until the 11th hour to get something done.
Yeah. I think we're in for a long winter when it comes to that. This is getting all of your offseason excitement in just a short period of time. And yeah, I'm lucky that the Mets are one of the most active teams. And I know that.
You've got plenty to talk about.
Yeah. I'm good for at least a couple of weeks.
Locked on Phillies listeners, after you listen to Locked on Phillies, if you want to hear about, you know, a team in the NL East who is making moves this offseason, feel free to tune into Locked on Mets with Ryan Finkelstein. I, of course, am Dan Wilson, host of Locked on Phillies, where there are always things to talk about no matter what. Even no news is news in and of itself. So I want to thank you for making Locked on Phillies your first listen every single day. Of course, Ryan, thanks you for listening to Locked on Mets. And also want to tell you to make your second listen Locked on Bets, not Locked on Mets, but Locked on Bets. It's your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked on Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and it's available on all platforms. Thanks again, Ryan. Always fun.
Yep, for sure.